You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our Meet the Council of Presidents series, and we happen to be recording at the LCMS convention in Phoenix, Arizona for this one. This one's going to air much later than the convention.
We won't be at convention still.
That's time. No, we will not be at convention in August. Lord willing.
That would be a long time.
But we are thankful because at convention, we get to meet face-to-face with some of the presidents of districts and some of our vice presidents for Synod. So we're excited to share some of these stories.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul at csp.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Bill Harmon. He is the president of the Southeastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he also serves King of Glory Lutheran Church in Williamsburg, Virginia. Pastor, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to see you face-to-face in person to have this conversation.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
No, many times when you are in St. Louis for Council of Presidents, Sarah and I are recording in the studio right outside the room where you meet. You walk by and you show us your KFUO socks every time.
It's true.
I do.
You proudly display your KFUO socks.
That's right.
Yes. And we're grateful for that. It's nice to have a friend in you and being a KFUO supporter. So thanks for joining us here on the little stage at the convention.
It's my joy.
To record our next in the series.
We are the little
stage.
We're
not the big stage.
We're not the big stage.
You're not the big stage, which makes this one more fun.
Much more serious, too.
That's right.
As you can tell.
Speaking of serious, we now have the lightning round. The lightning round is part of the series of getting to know the Council of Presidents. Very serious questions. Are you ready, sir?
Can I propose a motion?
No, this is not. This is the little stage. We don't propose motions on the little stage.
All right.
I'm ready.
Favorite color?
Red.
All right.
Blue, or blue.
Any more? Any other colors?
Just red or blue.
Red or blue.
Favorite cuisine?
Italian.
Okay. And favorite book? And we know that you love the Bible.
The B-I-B-L-E.
Yes, we do.
So there's an author named Margaret George. More than you want, I know. Henry VIII. It's a historical fiction. Very good.
Okay.
Wow.
That's not what I thought you would say, but I'm not sure what I did think you were going to say. Okay. Favorite office supply?
Candy.
That counts.
Right?
That counts.
Favorite candy?
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Ooh. Those are excellent.
Right, yes.
Yep.
Take a moment. Go in and get some.
We could. Somebody, I'm sure, has
somebody
some around
right
here.
Favorite dessert?
Ice cream.
Okay.
Yes, we've had this conversation
off air.
Forgot
about that. I think you know. I love ice cream and custard.
Frozen custard.
Yes.
He likes that too when it comes to St. Louis.
I do.
Ice cream and custard.
Maybe too much.
Hey, I don't. Is that even possible? I'm not sure.
No.
That's a good point.
Ask Pastor Clark.
Favorite vacation destination?
Whether you've been there or not.
We love the beach.
Okay.
Yeah, so any beach we love for sure.
All right. Easy enough.
Yeah.
This one's not a fair question. It's like asking your favorite child. Favorite hymn?
That is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a pastor, so right, every time I speak, it's my favorite verse.
Yeah.
Every time I sing, it's my favorite hymn.
Yes, yep.
Right?
We're going to make you answer it anyway, though.
I would say now. It's Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds.
Ooh.
Love it.
That's an excellent one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Favorite time of day? Last one.
4 p.m.
4 p.m. That's very specific. Is it 4 p.m. in every time zone?
That's a good point. I'll let you know.
Because right now, 4 p.m. feels like 6 p.m.
You're right. We're almost there.
It does.
It's the time we're recording.
It's so a little confusing.
Yeah.
Pastor, tell us about where you grew up.
I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. And
you pronounced all syllables in that.
I do.
Did.
I worked hard on
that. A little confusing.
I had to go to speech therapy for it. Baltimore, Maryland, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's
and had a great childhood there. My parents were blue collar workers, and they decided that we would start going to the church's school. And it was really going to the church's school that we became closer to the church.
Hmm.
And so that's really, how the story began, if you will. But, I grew up on the west side. It's called Catonsville, just started in Baltimore County. And, I still have family there. Love to go back. And of course, this time of year, I like to go back for some Maryland crabs, always a good thing. So
okay,
yeah. That sounds good.
That does sound good. It's like snack time for us right here in the booth.
Have you had Maryland blue crab?
No.
Our engineer over there is nodding his head yes.
Oh, he very much would
yes.
like some.
You have a.
Do you need
invitation?
Us to go with you?
You do. You have an open invitation to the Southeastern District.
We will change our flights to St. Louis.
We'll
to,
all go there.
That's not a bad idea.
We'll have a good old crab feast, and then I'll take you to G&M's, one of my favorite restaurants, and we'll get you a crab cake like you've never had before.
I believe it.
This episode is sponsored by
We're just going to talk about food the rest
that's
of the
right.
time.
I mean, that's right. And then we'll go get ice cream.
Exactly. Yes.
That's part of the getting to know you process.
That's right.
Eating all the food. Yes. So tell us about the journey from grade school at the church's school. Yeah. What was your schooling journey after that? What was that like for you that eventually led to seminary?
Yeah, I love to tell this story because it highlights the power of the laity and their effect on people's lives, and two, the power of our Lutheran schools and the impact they can have on people's lives. So here I am going to the church's school, fought it tooth and nail, didn't want to go, and got there and began to hear more intently that there was a God who loved me, who cared for me, who knew me, who shaped me and formed me in my mother's womb, you know, and who cared about my life that day, as much as a seventh grader can receive that, you know. And then there were people around me, you know, Lutheran school teachers, DCEs, and members of the church who encouraged, you know, be an acolyte, be a crucifer, be in the choir. We had a bell choir there too. We had youth nights where we'd play floor hockey in the cafeteria of the school with
yes.
tables around. And
beautiful.
They had all the pictures of the pastors on the wall, and it was extra points if you could hit a pastor. You
know? That is so funny.
Right?
I love it.
but, you know, to be poured into like that. Mm-hmm. And then when it came time for high school, there is a Lutheran high school in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was Baltimore Lutheran. Now it's Concordia Preparatory School, so I'm making sound smarter.
Yeah.
And I really begged my parents to go there. I just want to continue that thread of joy that came in what I was receiving and hearing. So, and that was a 30-minute drive across town to go to school. They had one bus, and my parents said yes. And, you know, later in life, I realized the sacrifice my parents were giving. What it took for them over time, cutting back on vacations so that I could go there. And it was really there at Concordia Preparatory School where, some really powerful moments happened for me. My freshman year, was at a lock-in for new students, and, guy was giving a devotion, and while he was giving the devotion, I started to cry. I was so moved by what he said, and I was embarrassed. I left the room because I don't know if you know this, but ninth grade boys don't like to cry in front of ninth grade girls, you know? And my religion teacher came out and asked me what was wrong. And I told him the story, and he said, that's the Lord working your life. That's the Holy Spirit working your life. And, you know, I will say to you, it wasn't like it was more like, that's inconvenient, you know? But that began a journey at Concordia Preparatory School of not only my religious education, but lock-ins and retreats and Bible studies and those kinds of things, and teachers who cared about me, so that by my freshman year, I was leading chapel at the high school. And by my senior year, I was going around town in Baltimore to Christian schools, giving chapels in those schools.
Oh, wow.
And that's really where my own personal mission began, which was, if the Holy Spirit of God can transform little Billy Harmon, he can transform anyone. And I want to be a part of that, you know? And I'm happy to tell you, by the way, that Concordia Preparatory School is thriving and doing great and continuing this day to have that impact on people's lives.
Wow. Thanks be to God.
Great
Amen.
Story.
Amen.
So bring us to the next chapter.
So then I had to decide where to go to school, right? Mm-hmm. And I was really afraid to go into the pre-seminary program because of Greek and Hebrew. Frankly.
Yeah.
And,
that's fair.
So I went to Concordia, New York, and I didn't really declare anything, but I thought maybe I'd be a teacher or a social worker or a DC or something like that. And finally, my home pastor, he says, you haven't made a decision. You keep changing your mind. And I said, sometimes I want to be a teacher. Sometimes I want to be a social worker. Sometimes I want to be a therapist, and he goes, well, what you're saying, Billy, is you want to be a pastor because you will be all those things at some point as a pastor. I'm like, okay. And so I made it through Greek and Hebrew, and lots of people were patient with me. Good old Dr. Meisner from Concordia, New York would have me on his porch over the summer drinking lemonade and studying Greek, just sort of pounding it in there. And so I graduated from Concordia in New York, where I met my wife, Gail, who's a great partner in life and ministry. She's from Queens, New York, and we met at Concordia. We got married right after school, and then we moved to St. Louis, where I went to seminary, and vicared in Warren, Michigan, just north of Detroit there.
Yeah.
Great experience. Love my vicarage pastor and his wife. To this day, I text him or call him and say, can I ask you a question about something? And then I've served in Flat Rock, Michigan, Garden City, New York on Long Island, and then Williamsburg, Virginia.
So you've had quite the journey.
I really have. And you know what's so fascinating about each of those places is that you take something with you from them to the next place, right? And so it's been a great gift. And along the way, three sons were gifted to us. And so, the boy, one was born in St. Louis, one was born in Michigan, one was born in New York. So when we moved to Virginia, my mom's like, well, are you having another child? No, we're going to get a dog, And so it's been a real blessing and an honor to be able to be in a parish setting where people trust you with something as important as their spiritual journey, and to have the great privilege and honor and heavy responsibility of faithfully proclaiming the word, administering the sacraments, and telling people that good news, that there is a God who knows them, who loves them, who formed them in their mother's womb, and who cares about their life. I get to tell the same story that was told to me over and over again. It's a great gift.
We have more to share with the Reverend Dr. Bill Harmon, president of the Southeastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Bill Harmon, president of the Southeastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and also serves at King of Glory Lutheran Church in Williamsburg, Virginia. You've shared quite a bit of your story with us already. Let's take a hot step back to seminary. Tell us a little bit about your time in seminary. What was that formational period like for you?
We look back at seminary with such joy, Gail and I. Just that time in St. Louis, the time to be in these classes where you have all this theology and all this history and frankly the practicality of doing ministry sort of all there before you, and then being able to dabble in that a bit with field work and the like. It was a real gift to us. We lived off campus and we actually have waited all these years to share this portion of the story, but we worked for Senator Jack Danforth and his wife. They chose a first year couple from the seminary to be the keepers of their estate. So to sort of help run their household when they weren't there. And we were chosen to do that.
Wow.
And they have done that every year, up until about 2 years ago. We just visited them when we were in St. Louis, a couple weeks ago, and we're able to thank them for that great privilege. So here I had this balance of being able to go to the seminary and learn and grow and then go work for, you know, the statesman and his family and to learn from him and to grow from him and even to debate a little bit. You know, he'd love to have good religious conversations. So we look back at that time. It was such a great gift to us. And some of my best friends to this day were formed at the seminary. You know, we just had you have a bond there that because you're really all training to do a similar thing.
Yeah.
And so you're jumping in the same pool, you know. And what I always tell people is on the one hand, seminary, and I mean this in the best way for anyone who may be listening, you know, it's in some way like military school, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a regiment that they want their candidates to know and understand. While at the same time, it's almost like a school of science where you can experiment and you know, ask questions and take risks in a control setting, you know, to learn and grow. And you do it with some guys who frankly you learn from them too, you know, and their experiences. And so I look back at that time now and I think, wow, I'm now the godfather of children from the seminary, you know, and then these are the same people that you call when you're wrestling with something or you have a joyful story that you just want to call someone and say, you'll never guess what happened. We baptized the whole family today, you know, they're the ones you call. So I look back with that with great fondness and I'm so grateful. You know, I went to St. Louis. It was a great experience, but I've had occasion as district president to visit Fort Wayne. And I know both of those seminaries work hard and do a great job at preparing our guys.
What are your responsibilities as district president for the Southeastern District?
Wow. How long do we have?
About 10 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, not a 4-part series.
That's right. Yeah.
We could do that if you wanted.
Well, I guess technically, right, according to the handbook of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, I'm the ecclesiastical supervisor of the rostered workers of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and of the members of the Synod. So it would be the rostered workers and the churches. And so that comes with responsibilities of ensuring that those who serve and that those who are proclaiming as mission stations are utilizing the gifts of the church in a manner of which we've determined as a church we will witness the gospel to others through, you know. So that's, of course, important, and I certainly want to put that out there. I also, when people ask me, like my neighbor, you know, who says, so what does this mean, you know? And then, you know, saying ecclesiastical supervisor is like, what does that mean? I say, I explain that, and then I say, I believe I'm also a pastor to the workers of the church, and which means I care about their well-being. I care about their spiritual being. I want to check in on them and see how their families are doing. I want to be a listening ear for them and to care for them. Then I say I'm often a judge, right? That items come to me and people need someone to determine the path to go. And sometimes it's easy to determine that because we have bylaws and a constitution and a handbook and it's clear and that's what we do. Other times it's just walking through with them and sort of coaching with them, you know, what's the best path forward through prayer and the guidance of our Savior and Lord. Then I say I'm a politician, right? I kiss babies, I install people, ordain people, you know, I cut ribbons. The very first thing I did officially as the president of the Southeastern District was dedicate a parking lot at a church.
There you go.
And let me tell you, it's a holy parking lot, I'm just going to say. You know, so you, I guess a better way to say it is you show up. You show up to support and to encourage and to celebrate. And to mourn and cry. You know, our district was hit hard by Hurricane Helene. And we have great leaders in our church who've been doing wonderful work even since that time. On the other end of that, it's important that we show up and inquire about them and care about them and see how we can bring the resources of the church to support them in that as well. And then the last thing I always tell people is that is district president, I'm a representative, right? I represent the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and President Harrison to the region of the Southeastern District, which is York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Washington, D.C., Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Bristol, Tennessee. And I believe I represent that area, which has its unique characteristics, its unique context, its unique approach to ministry. I represent them to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod so that their voices are heard and added to the mix of who we are as a church.
Do you have the largest number of states?
That's a good question.
Out of all the districts?
Yeah, we need to do some math, I think.
I'm going to say yes.
We'll agree with you because right. We don't know.
I'm going to say yes.
You mentioned all those states. It sounds like...
That is a lot of states. I mean, the
7 states in the District of Columbia.
Oh, okay. We have the non-geographical districts. So.
Oh, that's you know
true.
What?
Those might be too.
They
have a lot more states.
They're going to say they have all the states.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. Well, that's
I
right.
Have but of the
most
geographic
states
districts.
That are connected to each other.
Yes. Yeah. Of the geographic districts. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. There's your trivia for the day. So you also serve at King of Glory in Williamsburg. How do those two offices work together? How does serving in one position help you in the other and vice versa?
Well, we took a page out of President Harrison's book, right? Here he's the President of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I think he's the assistant pastor of the church in Ladue, Missouri,
that's
right?
My church, yeah.
And so that was encouraging to me because I do think it's good and important to have a connection still in the local on the ground parish life, mm-hmm. right? And I am so fortunate that my pastor at King of Glory, he approached me actually. Mm. He said, I really want to make sure you have an opportunity to be connected here and, ultimately to do what you feel you want to do as a pastor of the church. And so they extended a call to be an assistant pastor. And to be honest with you, because of the large geography of the district, If Pastor Martin was probably doing a review of me, he'd say,
he's delinquent.
He's a delinquent worker of the church because I'm hardly there. But when I am there, I will help with liturgy or occasionally I'll preach. What I'm most glad about it is, and this was sort of the beginning of why he wanted to encourage this opportunity, was I can see whoever I want to see, visit them, pray with them, care for them. Of course, like every good assistant, I report that back to my senior pastor, but I have the freedom to pastor people. And in my case, to pastor people that I've served for 15 years prior, mm-hmm. you know. But one of my other favorite things about going back to my church when I haven't been there a while is seeing people that I don't know. Mm-hmm. And to know that the life of the church continues and their witness continues. Now that the mantle has been passed on to another pastor.
Why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
You know, I think the easy answer would be to say, because that's where my parents brought me to, right? That was the foundation they gave me. And, that's what I knew at my congregations and the like. But I would say that, you know, now that I've had this experience and this journey to this point, and I'll have much more experience, I'm sure, after this, we are a church body that is committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And in light of the convention where we're at today, preaching that powerful message that Christ is risen indeed, alleluia. That's the first and foremost message on our hearts and minds and souls. And we want people to know that and experience that. And I so appreciate that about who we are.
Before we're done, we're going to circle back to the lightning round, because we just find these so fun. I'm really curious why 4 p.m. is your specific time of day that you love so
specific.
Much, because that is a very specific. Usually it's like sunset, but this is 4 p.m. I'm curious.
4 p.m., everything is starting to settle down from your work day, usually. Maybe not as district president.
It's when equipment breaks. But
right,
yes.
That's right.
Yep.
The sun is just beginning. It's... sunset, and there's the beginning of a little bit of calm and a little bit of peace. And I just love that image of that time. I have a picture from a restaurant that I used to go to in New York, and it's a painting of a town in Italy with the sun setting. And when we asked the guy about it, he goes, yeah, that's the sun setting around 4 p.m. And I'm like, you know what? that's my favorite time. It's such a beautiful setting. And, you know, we put a lot of energy in what we do, as you do, right? Mm-hmm. As workers of the church, we're always on, we're always ready to give an account, and we're always celebrating the good news that's within us. It is nice, though, to have moments where you can say, something's coming where I can rest, be still, know that He's God, catch my breath, maybe have a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't ask me, my salty food would be Dorito.
Uh-huh, okay.
and just take a break from it all and think it through, think mm-hmm. how the day went, or rejoice in the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Is it four? No.
it's almost, well, I'm so many options.
We're right
with this.
In the middle of time right now.
I know, we're out of time, but I have to ask one more about lightning round. Okay, you mentioned favorite cuisine being Italian. What's your favorite dish when it comes to Italian food? I know you have a specific one, I'm certain.
This is so specific to the restaurant I was telling you about.
That's why I had to ask this.
So is your favorite place, I'm assuming, is that restaurant.
It's a little mom and pop place where I guarantee you, if I walk in there today, they'll say, Harmon's, how you doing?
That doesn't surprise me at all.
And they'll say, chicken zigarella. And it's and how much time you have, I'll go quick, patted down chicken breast. Inside is prosciutto and mozzarella. And then there's this delicious mushroom pink sauce with pasta, right?
It's Jordan wants it.
It is delicious.
That sounds amazing.
We're all just going to go eat food now.
Yeah, so we'll go to Baltimore first, and then we'll go to my former congregation. We'll go to Piccolo's.
Food
tour.
We'll go to Piccolo's in Minneola, who's also a sponsor of our program today.
Oh, man, this has been so fun. The Reverend Dr. Bill Harmon, president of the Southeastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and also serving King of Glory Lutheran Church in Williamsburg, Virginia. Thank you for spending this time with us on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
It's just been a delight.
Thank you both.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Eggleseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.